Everyone faces crises in their lifetime. Sometimes we'll have a major crisis, sometimes two or three in a row. It seems like every one of us will have unplanned difficulty along our journey of faith. Sometimes they are unexpected turns, like Joseph experienced. I don't think Joseph ever dreamed his own brothers would betray him. I don't think Joseph ever dreamed he would one day be in a dirty prison in Egypt. I don't think Joseph ever dreamed that he would be accused and maligned in his character. No one ever plans for such difficulty, and yet it seems like everyone faces difficulty in their lives. The Apostle Paul was a great man of God who ended his life well for the Lord Jesus. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Boy, what a great testimony. How many of you would like it if that could be said about your life someday? Boy, that we would finish our course, that we would keep the faith. Well, Joseph was a man who suffered greatly, but he was also a man who was faithful to God all through the days of his life. In many ways, Joseph is like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Joseph was despised and rejected of his brethren, so was Jesus Christ. Joseph was loved by his father, so was Jesus Christ. Joseph was victorious over temptation, so was Jesus. Joseph was taken into custody because of a false witness, so was Jesus. Joseph suffered from doing what was right, and Jesus suffered for doing what was right. Joseph was promoted from prison to rule the nation, and Jesus was promoted from the tomb to rule the nations. When we study the life of Joseph, we can see a lot of parallels to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we look at Joseph's life this morning, we're going to see that even as his relationships on this earth failed, his faith grew. And I want you to recognize that while trials may come and relationships may fail, God's intention for your life is that through it all, our faith would grow stronger and our testimony brighter for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I believe this message can help every person in the room today. I believe there's something here for everyone if we approach the Bible with our hearts open to the Word of God. Notice, if you would, as we look at Joseph's life, first of all, we see that his journey was a journey of faith. Joseph was a man of great faith. He was a man who put great trust and confidence in the Lord. And I want you to see what it says there in verse number 5. It says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Joseph was a man who received a dream from Almighty God. He was a man who had faith to receive that dream. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Well, Joseph was a man who diligently sought after God. He was a man who had faith to receive the revelation of Almighty God. Notice that, if you would, in the first place. He had faith to receive God's revelation. Don't take it for granted when you read these words, "Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren." You see, Joseph's dream was of prophetic value. God does not speak to us today by way of dreams. He speaks to us today by way of the Word of God. But in this era of history, God would speak through his prophets, and God would often give dreams and revelation. Dreams in ancient times were to be attended to. They were thought of as something to be engaged in seriously, and especially from a godly man like Joseph. His dream was taken as symbolic, and also it was taken as something from Almighty God. And I want to say this: it takes faith to believe in God's revelation. In other words, when we open the Bible this morning, if we do not open it with a heart of faith, we will not receive what God has for us. That's why I like the verse there, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 in your notes. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You see, the Thessalonican church did not receive Paul's epistles as just another letter from another man. but they received it as it was in truth, the very word of God. They had faith when they received the word of God. And so Joseph had faith when he received this dream, that God was revealing a message to him and for his family. But you know, Joseph not only had faith to receive the dream, but Joseph had faith to recite the dream. Now I want to tell you something. It's one thing to hear God speak to your heart. It's another thing to tell someone else. It's another thing to share what God has done in your heart. Well, notice, if you would, back here in the text, chapter 37 and verse 6, and see what Joseph does. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf." Now here we see Joseph is sharing with his brothers, these who would become the heads of the tribes of Israel, these elder brothers, these proud men. He's telling them, you are going to one day bow down to me. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It takes some faith to share the word of God, but how many of you know it took an extra measure of faith for the younger brother to share that with his older brothers? I mean, he's telling them that one day they're going to bow to him. You know, Paul speaks about receiving the faith and reciting the faith. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, he says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but as God who trieth our hearts." You see, what we need in this land today are men and women of faith who will receive the word of God and who will recite the word of God, not as pleasing men, but as having one audience, and that is God, and desiring to please God and God alone. Had Joseph been a men pleaser, had Joseph thought only of himself, he would have never shared the message with his brothers. But because he was a man of God who walked in the fear of God, he was willing to share the message of God with his brethren. You see, it was not his dream, it was God's dream. And this is not our revelation, it is God's revelation, and we must receive it and recite it as God's holy word. Oh, Joseph's journey was a journey of great faith. But notice, secondly, Joseph's journey was a journey of faithfulness. Joseph was a man filled with faith, and because of that, Joseph was a faithful man. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2 these words, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found," what? Faithful. God says, "I've got one requirement of you, that you be faithful." You know, you may not be able to sing the solo, I cannot. You may not be able to play the piano, I cannot. You may not be able to organize things or teach lessons or do all these different things that could come to your mind. But God says, "I have one thing that every one of you can do. You can be faithful. You can be steadfast." The thing I love about Joseph's life is the fact that he could have quit many, many times, and he never quit on God. And we are in an age of quitters, where men quit on their marriage, and where Christians quit on their faith, and where people look for any reason to quit. I mean, a lot of Baptists walk around with the last straw right in their front pocket. They're ready to use it just on a moment's notice. That was the last straw. Joseph didn't have a last straw. Joseph was faithful. Real quickly, I want you to see four tests that Joseph faced and four tests that Joseph passed. First of all, he was faithful when he was betrayed by his brethren. When he was betrayed by his brethren. The Bible says that they envied Joseph. And you'll find much of the difficulty in life comes from someone that envies you, or someone that covets something about you, or someone that wishes they had something you have. Notice Genesis 37:11, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." Oh, they were upset at his having received the revelation. They were envious of that coat of many colors. They were envious that they did not receive the revelation. The Bible is very clear that they were angry and they persecuted their brother. The Bible says in Genesis 37 and verse 20, "Come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams." Do you see that in your notes, Genesis 37, 20? "We shall see what shall become of his dreams." You know what they hated the most about Joseph? They hated the fact that he was willing to recite the revelation of God. Folks, if you're going to be a soul winner, if you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, you will be rejected of men. You will have times when people will not be happy that you shared with them that they are a sinner and that Jesus died for their sin. You will have times when people do not want to hear that. I just want to encourage you. It is not you that they are rejecting so many times. It is the message that they reject. And they say there in verse 20, we will see what becomes of his dreams. Boy, they didn't like what Joseph had received from God. But I want you to recognize, even when difficulty comes, even when those unplanned trials come into your life, that God plans even your enemies. That God can use your enemies to serve his purpose. And that even though his brethren had become his enemies, even though Joseph did not understand, we're going to see in just a moment, God had a plan all the time. God in his sovereignty was working through it all. God would protect his man and God would do his work. Oh, thank God today for his grace and mercy. And even during the time of betrayal, God was working in Joseph's life. But notice the second great test that he experienced. He experienced this test. He was sold by his brethren. He was sold by his brethren. You know, it's one thing to have your brothers mad at you or envious of you or jealous of you, but how about having them sell you into slavery? Now, some of you say, well, I have had a brother that did that to me. He made me clean the backyard and the garage, and I was his slave. We're talking about literal slavery here. Notice chapter 37, verse 28. Chapter 37, verse 27 says, come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. You know the story. Now they find an opportunity to sell Joseph into slavery. They tell his father Jacob that he was dead. They think this is better than killing him. We're rid of him once and for all. They sell him to a man of great renown and popularity in Egypt, a man by the name of Potiphar. And here, they literally betray and sell their own brother into slavery. And I just want to say again, if you are going to be a man of faith, if you are going to be a woman of faith, if you intend to be steadfast all the days of your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, there will come times when people will stand against you. There will come difficulty into your life. The Bible says in the notes, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. My friend, you cannot be on fire for God without having someone say something about you or do something to you. Just what the Bible says. Everyone that lives for God is going to experience some difficulty. Hey, that's why we come to church on Sunday. Amen? So that we can be encouraged and edified, so that we can go back out and tell the dream of the gospel that Jesus Christ has given to us. We must remember that verse. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It does not say it is required of stewards that a man be found successful. There are going to be days when you don't feel successful. There are going to be days when things aren't going forward. They're going backward. But in those backward times, Joseph still loved God, and he still was faithful to God. Here on his journey, we see him being faithful when he was betrayed, when he was sold by his brethren. Notice thirdly, he was faithful when he was blessed. When he was blessed. Now think about this for a moment. Sometimes the trials come through adversity, but sometimes we are challenged through the times of blessing. I have seen a lot of people hang on during the trial, faithful to God. And then when the blessing came, they were not faithful to God. I mean, they lost their job. Lord, give me a job. Lord, give me a home. Lord, give us children. Lord, bless our finances. And the Lord bless. And the Lord bless. And then they had a promotion and a promotion. And now they had just enough that it's as if they said, you know, I don't need God anymore. I'm okay. And because they were blessed, they did not pass the test of blessing. You know, Joseph in Egypt began to find promotion coming his way. And all of us are living in a kind of Egypt, in a sinful world. And Joseph was being blessed and promoted in Potiphar's house. The Bible says in Genesis 39 and verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And by the way, it is not a sin when someone's business is blessed or someone is blessed at work, and Joseph certainly was not a sinner, and God was blessing him and prospering him. He became the master of the house. And yet through his time of prosperity, he never forgot God. Notice what it says. Later in Genesis 45 and verses 9 and 10, as he's speaking to his brother, and he says, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Did you capture that phrase? God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Never forget that whatever blessing comes in your life, it comes from God. Many a businessman who prays and seeks God and seeks counsel and tries to find the will of God then sometimes will come to a place he no longer needs God's mind in the matter. He can just make his own decision about what to do next. But Joseph never forgot God. During the time of his blessing, he did not forget that it all came from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Friend, I don't know what God has done in your life lately, but I want to tell you this, you ought to be thankful for it. Every blessing comes from him. Joseph was faithful when he was betrayed. Joseph was faithful when he was sold into slavery. Joseph was faithful when he was blessed abundantly. And then I want you to see one final test. Joseph was faithful when he was unjustly accused. When he was unjustly accused. Now, right when you think things couldn't get any worse, I mean, you're in a foreign country. You can't see your dad. You are betrayed by your brethren. Now your boss's wife is going to pull one of the worst stunts ever recorded in the Bible. Notice what it says, if you will, in Genesis 39 and verse number 7. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here we see Potiphar's wife attempting to seduce Joseph, attempting to somehow derail him and rob him of his integrity. And may I say that this type of test is common in the society in which we live. It may start with an innocent chat room. I thank God I've never been on one time of any type. I don't know how folks have time to chat on a computer. Chat with your family. Pray. Read the Bible. But I've heard of so many times just an innocent little chit-chat turning into a let's meet somewhere and a marriage is ruined. And I'm just simply saying the devil has been working since the beginning of time to derail people and to cause them to lose their integrity. It may be a little pop-up on your computer. It may be a little friendliness at the water cooler at work. I don't know how it comes in the way in which you live, but I know it came to Joseph and he was falsely accused. He was tested. And here we see as he is tempted by Potiphar's wife, he runs away from her. He says, I'm over everything in this house. I can have anything in this house I want, but not you. You're his wife. And as Joseph ran away, the Bible says Potiphar's wife held his coat. She later used that coat as her supposed evidence that Joseph had been wrong towards her. But I want to tell you something. As Joseph ran out of that house, he may have lost his coat, but he kept his character. Joseph walked in integrity. You see, character is not created in the crisis. It is only revealed in the crisis. And Joseph had been walking with God and trusting God. He had been guarding his thoughts. He had been walking with integrity. And when the test came, his character was revealed. And his character was this, young men. He was a man of God. He was a man who had walked in discipline with God. Well, you know the story, some of you. Potiphar's wife goes to her husband, look at this coat, look at what Joseph did. And now Joseph finds himself in prison because of what this ungodly, wicked woman said. In Genesis 39 and 20, the Bible says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Think of that. in a foreign land, betrayed by your brethren, falsely accused, and sitting in a rotten prison, all because you were the one who was willing to say what God said. How many of you might have found reason to get discouraged? Many a man would have quit. Many a Baptist would have said, "Here's my last straw, God, that's it." But not Joseph. Joseph had learned that wherever he went, God went with him, and that God would provide grace for him. And the Bible says in Genesis 39:21, but the Lord was with Joseph. You say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on in my street. You don't know what's going on at my company." No, I know one thing, though. If you're saved, the Lord is with you. And don't forget that. Joseph knew that the Lord was with him. Genesis 39:23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. Well, I tell you what a blessing to have the Lord with you. The Bible says in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Proverbs 16:7 is a great verse. It says this, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." You know, while Joseph was in that prison, the prison keeper was kind to him. And God was sustaining him all throughout that time. I think about Joseph as a man who was faithful. I think about great and faithful men in the last several years, men who were pioneers in the fundamental Bible-believing movement in this land, and men who were church builders and soul winners, and men who encouraged millions of Christians, and now one by one they've been called home to be with the Lord. And I'm just simply saying, as God was with Joseph, God has been with others, and as God has been with others, listen, God will be with us during the difficult times, during the down times. Joseph said, God is a faithful God. And Joseph was a faithful man. Oh, we need faithful men in America today. Faithful women in America, when the trials come and the setbacks come, who keep on going and keep on trusting. But notice, his journey was not only a journey of faith, not only a journey of faithfulness, but notice finally, it was a journey of forgiveness. I believe one of the reasons Joseph finished his race was because he was a good forgiver. He didn't have a last straw. He just kept forgiving and forgiving. His brothers came to him the first time. He could have punished them. They deserve punishment. His brothers came the second time. He could have punished them then. And instead, he put money and food in their bags and sent them on their way. He was a man who was not a scorekeeper. He was a grace giver. He was a forgiving man, a loving man. The Bible says he forgave his brothers. Genesis 45 and verse 4, for the sake of time, Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, but that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." You see, at first they didn't recognize who he was. He was thoroughly Egyptianized. His look, his speech, His presence was not what they had known when he was a 17-year-old young boy. And now he identifies himself to them. No doubt when they realized who he was, fear gripped their heart. No doubt they were concerned that revenge was about to come upon them. But instead of finding revenge, we see that Joseph says here, "Don't be angry with yourself." I don't know about you, I might have said, "Hey boys, stew on this for a while. Judgment day has come." That wasn't Joseph's spirit. He said, "Don't be angry with yourself." He said, "God sent me here so I could preserve your life." Wow. I've had people say, "Pastor, I think God gave me cancer so I could help others with cancer. I think God put me through that abusive relationship so that I could help others. I think God has blessed me financially so that I could help others." Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. Joseph was a leader who had learned that God had a purpose in all these trials of his life. Clara Barton, the founder of the Red Cross, once was treated terribly by a friend, and later on in life, that friend came back and was trying to have business dealings with her, and an associate said, "Don't you remember what she did to you? Don't you remember what she said about you? You better be careful." Clara Barton said, "I don't remember." She said, "Don't you remember?" She said, "No." She said, "In fact, I distinctly remember forgetting it." You see, Joseph distinctly forgot and forgave. He showed the grace of God. The Bible says he put money in their sack. The Bible says he sent them on their way with provision. In fact, notice there in chapter 45 and verse 7 what he says to them as he sends them. The Bible says in Genesis 45 and verse 7, and he says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." In other words, Joseph says, "You know what I've learned? I've learned God has a purpose in all of this. I've learned that with the setbacks and the trials and the difficulties, God has a reason." Have you learned that, Christian friend? Have you learned Romans 8:28? "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called," what? "According to his," what? "Purpose." God says, "Look, I've got a reason for this. I have a purpose for this." He forgave his brothers. I want you to see one more thing. He focused on the Lord. Joseph, throughout his journey of faith, just stayed focused on the Lord. And I want you to see the verse, either turn there or look in the notes. Genesis 50 and verse 20. His brothers come back to him. Jacob has died. They're sure he will kill them now. But notice what the Bible says in verse 20. One of the most powerful verses to me in all the Bible, Genesis 50, 20. He says to his brothers, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as to this day to save much people alive." You see, they thought evil against him. You say, "But Pastor, you should hear what his attorney did. You should hear what her attorney did. You should hear what they say at work. You should hear what people have done." I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God, God loves you. You're the apple of his eye. They may mean it for evil, but God can turn it to good. Because God has a way of taking all the wrongs and making them right. That's the great thing about our God. Oh, Joseph's journey to Egypt, it was unplanned, believe me. It was not what a 17-year-old boy was hoping to do that particular day. Just as some of the journeys you've taken were not planned. But through it all, God had a purpose. Joseph learned to forgive. I want to say this as I close this morning. Those brothers deserved punishment. If they got what they had coming, they would have been in the Egyptian prison. But it reminds me of this simple fact. If I got what I deserved, I would spend eternity in hell without God. Remember, I said a moment ago, there's a lot of things about Joseph that remind me of Jesus. You see, the fact is, friend, all of us, if we got what we deserve, we would get judgment. If we got what we deserve, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And just as Joseph could have said, "Depart from me, ye cursed," Jesus Christ could say that to you and to me. But instead he says, "All you that are heavy laden and all of you that are filled with burdens, come unto me and I will give you rest." Instead of judging us, he forgave us. Instead of judging us, he went to the cross of Calvary. And there my sin was judged on the cross of Calvary as the blood of Jesus was spilled. And that's why Jesus can offer forgiveness for us today. Listen, if you're here today not sure that your sins are forgiven, you're not sure that heaven is your home, I've got good news for you. God's not mad at you, and God doesn't want you to be mad at yourself. He loves you, and he wants you to come and trust him as your Savior. He wants you to know that forgiveness is available because the blood of Jesus has been spilled, and the blood of Jesus says, "Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven." And all who come to that fount filled with blood have their sins forgiven. What a great, great truth that is. And by the way, if you've been forgiven, why don't you practice some forgiveness? Ephesians 4:32, forgiving those for Christ's sake, even as God hath forgiven you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to study the life of Joseph. Thank you for loving us and helping us. And I pray that we would learn from these journeys of faith, how to journey ourselves through this pilgrimage.